Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has called on people there to boycott French goods following a row over comments by the French leader, Emmanuel Macron. Earlier, he had questioned Mr. Macron's mental health, prompting Paris to recall its ambassador to Ankara for consultations. The row centres on Mr. Macron's response to the beheading of a teacher who had shown cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad to his pupils. Joining us on the line is Mark Pierini of Carnegie Europe, who's also a former EU ambassador to Turkey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Erdogan has a long record of criticising other leaders. So what's the significance of these latest comments?
Well, the significance is to be found essentially in domestic politics and in the rather bad news that Erdogan has. I mean, the opinion polls are not good for his coalition, and the economy is in shambles. Yesterday, the Turkish lira hit a historical low against the US dollar, and you know, the economic success was Mr. Erdogan's main narrative for many, many years. He's been in power almost 18 years now, and this was for a long time his success story. So he's not happy on the domestic front. At the same time, there is a rising sense of rising military power in Turkey. So he has tried to venture into Syria, Libya. Now he's saying things about supporting Azerbaijan, of course, maritime boundaries in the Eastern Mediterranean, deploying missiles he bought from Russia. But all of these fronts, if you want, are not bringing success at all. So, I mean, without entering into details, he has problems with Russia, he has problems in Libya, etc., etc. So diversion is the main thing, but also, of course, his personal style is confrontational. He likes to be seen and heard. He likes to be in action on the world stage, and this is what you're seeing now.
At the same time, Mr. Macron has described Islam as a religion in crisis, and it's fair to say that it wasn't just Mr. Erdogan who was annoyed by that.
Yeah, well, France has an important problem with the Muslim religion, in the sense that it is very difficult to manage within the French brand of secularism. Then, of course, more recently, 10 days ago, he had this horrific beheading of a secondary school teacher in the street adjacent to the college. So that is a huge thing. And if you notice, it's only yesterday afternoon that an advisor to the Turkish president condemned the beheading after noticing that 24 out of the 26 other member states had supported France. So, you know, there is certainly a difficult situation in France, Mr. Erdogan will probably be inclined to pick up any difficulty there. Also, more generally, the advisors to Mr. Erdogan and Mr. Erdogan himself, for years now, as Prime Minister, as President of Turkey since 2014, have made a point to denounce Islamophobia in Europe. And that was the case again this weekend, not just about France, but about Germany and others.
What are relations like now between Turkey and the EU? Because it's more than 4 years since they signed what at the time was seen as a landmark agreement on Syrian asylum seekers.
Indeed. Well, as after the European Council on October 1st, what you have is an offer from the EU to talk to Turkey on several fronts. Certainly on the refugees, of course, but also on the customs union, which is fundamental for both sides, and on political issues. The issue there is that you haven't heard any answer from Turkey so far. On the contrary, Turkey doubled down on the provocations in the Eastern Mediterranean by sending the research ship again. The issue, in my view, is that the EU DNA, if you want, is dialogue and compromise. This is what you see every time in the European Council, of course. And in Ireland, you know that very well. But is Mr. Erdogan interested in, for example, a compromise with Greece on maritime boundaries? My guess is that he's not interested, because tensions, hostile narrative, is politically more profitable for him than getting to a compromise, because in a compromise, he would, of course, not get the totality of his claims. Mm-hmm. So as long as he has a presidential election in front of him in 2.5 years, and the legislative election as well, and as long as the economy is in bad shape, he's probably feeling that he's better off with a fierce narrative, nationalist narrative.
All right, Mark Pierini, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the line this morning. It's 7:46. Thank you.